Hello and welcome to our broadcast. Today we're going to be talking about two important issues that need to be discussed. Stay tuned for our program. Talk about two important issues. What does important mean? The dictionary says it's something of value that can have a profound effect on success or survival. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about here. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 20, Paul warned those of us who are pastors to keep that which is committed to thy trust. Keep, guard that which is committed to thy trust. As pastors, we need to consider this very serious charge. We are dealing with lives, we are dealing with eternity, and Paul was honestly able to say to those who were committed to his trust, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God, Acts 20, verse 27. That is what every pastor should honestly try to set out to be able to say when we face the Lord. Now, there's two major doctrines that I want to talk about in this message. Perhaps we'll take a couple of messages for this. And in this message, we are going to discuss what I believe to be the two most important issues that pastors need to consider today. They are the doctrine of salvation and the doctrine of separation. One of the reasons fundamentalism is being flooded with apostasy is what Jude called the common salvation in Jude 1 and 3. Now, the Greek word translated common in Jude is translated unclean three times in Romans chapter 14, verse number 14. The same word is translated defiled in Mark 7, number 2, and unholy, an unholy thing in Hebrews 10 and 29. Jude was not changing his mind about what to write about, as most commentaries will tell you. Jude was warning the people of his day about a defiled, unclean, unholy plan of salvation that was contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul also warned about perverting the gospel. He wrote to the church at Galatia saying, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He went on to say, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, that would include Paul himself, or an angel from heaven, that's pretty serious, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Galatians 1, 6 through 8. Now we're living in an age when they're being taught by many people who call themselves fundamentalists today that there's no repentance necessary for salvation. We need to understand that if there's no repentance, then there is no salvation. Praying a little forgiveness prayer, we say, well, that doesn't work for the Catholics. Well, why in the world would you think it would work if you call yourself a fundamental independent Baptist? If there's no repentance, there's no salvation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Acts 17:30 says, God commanded all men everywhere to repent. Mark 6 and 12 says they went out and preached that men should repent. Jesus said in Luke 13, 3, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And in case we were slow in catching on to it, he said it again just two verses later, I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What part of those verses is too difficult to understand? It seemed pretty simple to me. Several years ago, I had a well-known evangelist come to our church. We knocked on the door of a man in the area, and the evangelist started his soul-winning sales pitch. He rhymed off his presentation like he had done many times before, and ended with the question, "Do you know any reason why you couldn't get saved right now?" The man answered, "I have done this twice before." The evangelist probably didn't even hear the man's response and said, "Well, good then, let's pray." The man prayed, and we headed back to the church. The evangelist told everyone in the meeting that night about this man that got saved. He got no more saved than the door that we knocked on got saved. Nothing was said to this man about repentance. It was simply a slick sales presentation. The man prayed, and that soul-winning plan that omits repentance is a defiled, unholy, unclean, perverted plan of salvation. Jesus said, "I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Now, eternal souls have been committed to our trust. We are dealing with the eternal destiny of precious souls. And some years ago, Jack Hiles and Curtis Hudson were wrong when they promoted the heresy from hell that repentance is an enemy of soul winning. The Sword of the Lord was wrong when they removed the references of repentance out of their hymn books in their 1989 version of Soul-Stirring Songs and Hymns. And they changed hymn number 245. The old account was settled. They changed hymn number 280. I am resolved. They changed hymn number 318, Give Me Thy Heart. They changed hymn number 444, Almost Persuaded. And changing these hymns and taking the references out of them about repentance was not only wrong, it was wicked. We had a pastor in British Columbia who wrote an open letter to Independent Baptists of Canada dated April the 1st, 2000, concerning Hurt Hudson's actions. In a letter to this pastor dated March the 31st, 2000, Shelton Smith promised that the Sword of the Lord would publish a new edition of the hymnal that would use the original editions of the hymns. Not only has they never done that, they still continue to sell Hudson's heresy on repentance. You can buy it there even today. What is the matter with us? Why do we just sit back and take this? We need to be sounding the warning. People who are simply praying a little prayer minus repentance will die in their sins and go to hell. The Bible says, and Paul says, though we or an angel, if any man, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul said, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say again, he said, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Twice, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, Paul said, let him be accursed. Now, we need to understand that this word accursed does not mean go to hell. According to Strong's Concordance, the Greek word translated accursed is anathema. It has nothing to do with going to hell. It was an Old Testament type of what we would call church discipline, where they publicly exposed those who were doctrinally wrong by having their names hung upon the walls or the columns of the temple or put in some other conspicuous place. Now, what we need to do today is to stand up and tell everybody what the Bible says before hundreds and maybe thousands of people who are sitting in our fundamental independent Baptist churches thinking they're saved because they prayed a prayer. They're not saved if they didn't repent. Jesus said that. I don't care what Hiles says, and I don't care what Hudson said. I do care what Jesus said. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, Christians today are preaching a damnable heresy, and the Bible says they would do that. The Bible warns that Christians would be promoting a damnable heresy in the last days. 2 Peter 2:1 says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily will bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. That word bought has been translated redeemed three times. Peter's final words were warning us about this destruction that we would face in the local church in the last days. And in 2 Peter, he warns us of those who would rest unto their own destruction. That is, they would turn away from the expected course that God had for them. A destruction is the process of causing so much damage to something that it is no longer exist or it cannot be repaired. That is exactly what is happening today in what we call fundamentalism. Peter finished his ministry warning us to beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Could there be any error more wicked than a perverted plan of salvation that will damn a soul to hell for eternity? Over 70 years ago, Gypsy Smith, a man who was mightily used of God in winning people to the Lord, said this: "I am afraid that in our zeal to get people into the kingdom or the church, we have lowered the standards. These words, 'repent ye,' meant far more when they were uttered than they do today with most people. I am afraid that with the familiar way with which we use them and the constant contact we have had with them and the daily handling of them, we have somehow allowed their edge to be worn off. They do not mean as much to us. The depth, the breadth, the height, the length of these mighty utterances do not search us and illuminate and startle and thrill and overwhelm us like they used to, but they do mean as much." He went on to say, quote, "In order to capture, we have compromised and lost. We have been more concerned about filling our church registers than we have about the kingdom. We have not sufficiently emphasized the greatness of coming to Christ, and we have told them it is only a step." "Who told you so?" he said. "Only a step to Jesus? It is not true. It is not gospel. Only a step to Jesus? Then it is a very big step. We have made it a very little thing, and we have multitudes of people joining the churches. It is child's play. It used not to be this way." He went on to say in that message, I quote, "No, there is no salvation without repentance. This is the first step. First things first. And the man who misses repentance will miss everything. If your repentance is shallow, your religious life will be shallow. If your coming to Christ does not mean everything to you, you will not get everything. If your surrender is not complete, you will not receive. If your hands are filled, you cannot take hold of anything. It is only those who come empty-handed that can cling. It is only those who turn from darkness to light that understand God. It is only those who leave the devil who can receive God. No, we must repent," end quote. In that message, Gypsy Smith said, quote, "My business is not to speak smooth things, but to say things that you may resist, fight, get angry with, and you may get angry with me for saying them, but they are here, and it is my business to say, thus saith the Lord. There is no intelligent conversion without an intelligent understanding of these words. May the Holy Spirit breathe light upon these truths and help us to see them, for it is my business to make you see what God means when he says, 'Repent ye.'" Well, Gypsy Smith didn't have a formal Bible education, as we would call it today. He couldn't read and he couldn't write. When he got saved, he got himself a dictionary and a Bible, and he started preaching out in a field to turnips. People saw him preaching, practicing preaching to these turnips, and they stopped to listen to him. And before too long, throngs of people were coming to listen to him, while those educated Bible college people weren't getting the crowds at all, because this man was preaching the truth, and he knew more about the truth of salvation than those people that had been to Bible college and hadn't learned it yet. Gypsy Smith knew more about salvation than Jack Hiles and his puppet preacher followers, who are preaching this damnable heresy today that repentance is not necessary for salvation. Now, it's time we woke up. It's time we took a fresh look at the book of Jude. It's time we got upset about those who are preaching this defiled, unclean, unholy plan of salvation that is contrary to the gospel of Christ. It is time that we took Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 8 seriously, where it says, "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which he have preached unto you, let him be accursed." And again, that doesn't mean go to hell. It means let him be exposed for the heresy that he is preaching. We need to understand that the time is upon us, that 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." It says that they will deny the Lord that redeemed them, and that is what is going on today, and it's time to wake up before it's too late. We need to understand that we are going to lose our young people to the flood of apostasy that is destroying our so-called fundamentalism if we shy away from preaching the truth about separation from proposed Christians who are actually promoting apostasy. Well, that's the first issue. In our next broadcast, we're going to talk about the issue of ecclesiastical separation. Be sure and tune in.